Hear now God's word in the opening verses of Mark's gospel. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. For I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I found myself deep in conversation with a group of pastor colleagues that turned into a somewhat heated debate. The topic, which subject line do you most dread reading when you open an email from a congregation member? Now, there were many worthy candidates for consideration. Concern made the list for all of us. Others included your sermon, mistakes, why I'm leaving, and perhaps most to the point, an email I've never received, but the subject line in one of my colleagues' emails read, "Satan!" with an exclamation point. Now, most of us also mentioned that no subject line emails are the source of a lot of unease. My one unique contribution to the debate was a subject line particularly troublesome for those of us who like routine and are perhaps a bit excessive in our commitment to our schedules. The subject, change of plans. I hate that one. Just reading the words makes me sweat. I'm avoiding eye contact with Sarah, who knows that change of plans can be a source of conversation in our household as well. Though I can appreciate, I really can, from a safe distance, the virtues of flexibility and adaptability, I struggle mightily to embrace those virtues in my own life. And though my problem is likely extreme, I would suggest that hesitancy and resistance are common reactions to change for most of you as well. We find the theme in the pages of Scripture. You might remember that after the Israelites have been miraculously freed from captivity in Egypt, they have been brought through the Red Sea, parted on dry land, and almost as soon as they have been liberated from the oppressive regime of Pharaoh, God's people begin to complain. And what do they long for? For the certainty of slavery over the unpredictability of freedom. Yes, change is difficult. Fear of change is universal. No wonder there is an entire industry devoted to the art of change management. Many of us have read the work of Ron Heifetz on adaptive leadership, particularly his insight that leading institutional change is, quote, the process of disappointing people at a rate they can absorb. We all know that growth requires change. We all resist the change that growth requires. John the Baptist, a change management consultant with an extreme methodology. John the Baptist, a voice in the wilderness crying out, demanding we do it differently. John the Baptist announcing a new day for God's people. Whether we like it or not, John's disheveled style and difficult message stand in the center of our preparations for Christmas. Subject line, change of plans. For there is no Christmas pageant in Mark's gospel. There are no shepherds, no wise men, no babe lying in a manger, no star shining in the night sky. Mark begins not in Bethlehem, but in the wilderness. Mark begins not with angels, but with John. Abrupt, sharp-edged, uncompromising, appears in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's preaching gets straight to the point. The time has come. Time to confess. Time to change. Time to prepare. Why? Something extraordinary is about to happen. And here's what catches me by surprise every single time I read this story. People from everywhere flock to John's wilderness outpost to hear his words and receive his baptism. John is not warm and fuzzy. He does not advertise, publicize, or even evangelize. He does not send invitations or bake cookies. He hangs no balloons. And yet, people of all kinds gather to hear his extreme message of utter change. Why? Why do they show up? I think I know why. They sense the need for something different, for something dramatic, for something new. And in John's message, they find it. He opened their hearts. They told him the truth of their lives. Something happened to them when they were with him. And so they were baptized, they were converted, they were transformed, they were prepared for God's coming, and so are we invited to the wilderness. The place of least pretension and deepest honesty. The place where we can say without protective piety these simple words that open the door to freedom. I need to change. I need to change. Our hearts know we lack peace. Shalom, wholeness. We lack that sense of integrity that comes when we tell the truth. Instead, we are taught to cover our weaknesses with bravado. We're taught to paint over the imperfections, to resist the truth that life is messy, that relationships are complicated, that we are broken. We need some time with John the Baptist. We need some wilderness time. There we can acknowledge the pain we cause and the hurt we carry. There we can tell the truth to ourselves, about ourselves. We might even concede that this season brings as much grief as joy for many of us. That in this season of peace, we lash out in anger. That in this season of hope, we hold grudges. That in this season of love, we break promises. We wound those closest to us. We fail to love our neighbors, to say nothing of our enemies. We participate in and are a part of so many broken systems. Life is messy, and no amount of tinsel or bright lights or carefully laid plans can cover that truth. But we can do something about it. You see, John's message does not just invite confession or lead to pity parties. It compels change. If we are to find peace, we need a change of plans. That change is enacted in the ritual of baptism. There John stood, waist deep in flowing water, clothed in camel's hair, shouting a message of change, and crowds lined up to walk into the Jordan River. And when he dipped them into the water, something was suddenly different. Baptism is rooted in the conviction that we can change, that it's never too late. Always potential for wholeness within us and peace between us. John the Baptist found a home in the hearts of a people who knew that all was not well. He knew his role: prepare the way for what was to come. Open the door to a different future. Persistently preach a path to peace. And no wonder the crowds gathered to hear that call. No wonder they sought eagerly his baptism of renewal. Have you ever reached the end of your rope? Perhaps you are there right now. I can't go on like this. I need to change. Something must be different. I can't keep living this way. And what to say about our world? Deeply and painfully divided, acts of violence and injustice, hopelessness and fear. Surely we can all agree that something needs to change, something truer than painted smiles and Santa hats. Here, in the community of faith, our preparations for Christmas begin in confession of brokenness. For the Christmas present that John offers us is the gift of vulnerability before God and each other. The chance to reconcile. The call to inner integrity. The opportunity to persistently prepare for a new world and another way. And how the people streamed to the wilderness to hear his preaching. How they needed his brutal honesty and his unpretentious proclamation. How they needed to be baptized by him, to be prepared for the coming of light, to break through the shadows of self-delusion. I think John the Baptist respected people of Judea enough to call them to change as they prepared for the hope already on its way. And this Advent, I wonder where you might need a change of plans, where you might need to prepare for the gift of Christmas. Which parts of your life are no longer serving God's purpose? Which lies are you telling to maintain the status quo, even though telling them breaks your heart? Come on out to the wilderness. Wash those burdens away. In the river, or the font? And then ask yourself this: how can I contribute to a renewal of peace in my heart and beyond these walls? Who in my life needs the gift of vulnerability found in friendship? What kind of community are we called to build and be? What kind of city? What kind of nation? What kind of world are we really content to live as people of Christian faith in a time of such severe incivility? Can we really rest easy while our neighbors lack adequate food, fear eviction, or live in threat in their own homes? Is this really the way God intends for us to live? Is this really what makes for peace? We must change. We must let go of what holds us back and reach for what means the most. John calls it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you have felt it. That moment when some unexpected peace, some undeserved joy come to your heart. The conviction that all is not lost for us or this troubled world. It is that fresh spark that shines through the shadows. It is the promise kept alive by our persistent preparation. It is the possibility renewed again and again and again in the waters of baptism. It is a change of plans for the better. Peace is on the way.